We're holding on Ein Gimel Amud Beis, eight lines from the bottom, a line within the Dhamma. We started talking about, now our Mishnah says that Yom HaKippurim is also to eat and drink and bathe and so on and so forth. So we started by asking the question, why did it use the word osur, which implies just that, which implies maybe that it's only osur dirabbanan, maybe that it's maybe that it's that whatever the case, that it's not such a serious issur, so to speak, when really we know that a person eats or drinks or does malacha on Yom Kippur, he's chayav kares. So we started by saying that we're talking about that the Mishnah is talking about even if a person only ate chatzi shir, not a full shir. Now we're going to talk, we mentioned the Mishnah, and we're going to talk about in greater detail later on, Daf Ayin Tes Pei, that the shir for eating on Yom Kippur is a keseves, the size of a large date. But if a person eats less than that, then the Mishnah is still mentioning that it's awesome. So we said, okay, what about according to the opinion that it's mutter, which the Gemara assumes that that opinion, which we're going to say now is Rish Lakish, would hold that not only it's mutter min haTorah, but it's not even, the Gemara is assuming for purposes of the question that Rish Lakish would mean that it's actually even mutter d'rabbanan. So d'itmar, we have that discussion. Chatzishir, Rabbi Yochanan amar osur min haTorah, Rish Lakish amar mutter min haTorah. Rabbi Yochanan says that even though the Torah tells us that a person is chayav only if he eats a keseves on Yom Kippur or a kezias of most other things that it's also to eat, we'll talk about in the Gemara eventually why Yom Kippur is different. But anyway, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even a person eats less than that shear, nevertheless he's still also to do it midaraisa. And the Rambam adds he would even get makas maudrus for it. He just, what are the specific penalty that it mentions in the Torah, kares or malkus or chatas, etc., won't apply. Rish Lakish amar mutter min haTorah, and Rish Lakish says it's actually mutter from the Torah, and we're going to assume for the moment that it means that he says it's saying it's mutter completely, even d'rabbanan. Most of the Rishonim, by the way, learn when we say chatzi shir, chatzi means a half, but most of them learn it doesn't necessarily mean a mathematical half. The same thing would be if a person ate a third of a kesevis or a quarter or whatever. Although there is actually an opinion of Maharam Chalava in the Gemara in Psachim that learns that even according to Rabbi Yechanan, it would only be if a person ate half of the amount, but if he ate less than that, then even Rabbi Yechanan might agree that it's not daraisa. Interesting, by the way, when it comes to him, when you think about it, when it comes to Yom Kippur, and we're saying the size is not a kezias, it's a date, and we're going to eventually learn in the Gemara that a date is considerably larger than a kezias. So it comes out when a person eats chatzi shir of a date, he is in fact eating a kezias, or he may well be eating a kezias, still less than a kesevis, and still we're saying that it wouldn't be an isur d'oraisa. So again, for reasons that we're going to talk about later, why it is that Yom Kippur has a different shear than most other cases where a person's not allowed to eat. Anyway, so the Gemara says Hanicha l'Rabbi Yechanan. So this works out well according to Rabbi Yechanan. That therefore the Mishnah is saying Yom Kippurim Oser b'Achilu Rishia, referring to when a person eats a half a shear. And then later in the Mishnah it talks about also what happens if a person eats a full shear. Elo l'Rish Lakish ma'ikol me'ma. What are you going to say according to Rish Lakish? Why is the Mishnah using the word Oser if it's talking about chatzi shear? According to him, it sounds like it's not Oser at all. And the answer is, Murder Rish Lakish, Sha'asim Adirabanan. The answer is that, yeah, Rish Lakish will, when he says it's not Asim in Torah, he means just that. It's not also Daraisa, but it still is also Dirabanan. So therefore, according to him, the Mishnah can well use the word Osir to mean that it is also Dirabanan to eat less than the size of the date, less than the Kesevis. But nevertheless, as he and Rabbi Yechanan would both agree that there's no punishment, that there's no, that, that, so in other words, Rabbi Yechanan is going to say that daraisa, there's a punishment if a person eats a kesevis. There is it's also, even if he eats less than a kesevis, for reasons that the Gemara is going to discuss later. And according to Rish Lakish, it's mutter daraisa, and the Chachamim answered it for the same reason that Rabbi Yechanan says that the Torah itself answered it. Okay, so therefore, so yeah, so Rish Lakish would say that it's also Dirabbanan, so therefore the Mishnah can well use the word also on it. The problem with that is, if you're going to learn like that, then if a person made a shvua that he's not going to eat a chatzi shir, then, and he ate it, then he shouldn't be chayav a korban for it. Because we have, now there's a concept when it comes to shvuas, that We know that if a person makes a shvua and then they break it, then they have to bring a korban. That bring a korban olav yodid. However, there's a concept called nishba levatal as a mitzvah. If a person swears that he's going to not do a certain mitzvah, then it's not effective because he's already be sworn to keep it from Har Sinai. And by the same token, if a person makes a shavua to fulfill a mitzvah and then he ends up not doing it, then also he doesn't get the penalty, he doesn't get malchus or the korban, as the case may be, because again he was already besworn to do it from Har Sinai, so therefore his shavua didn't really have an effect. If you're going to tell me that according to Rish Lakish it's also drabbanon to eat a chatzi shir, then why would he be chayv a korban shavua for it? You have to listen to what the chachamim say as well. So why do we learn? Why is it that we learn in a Mishnah in Shavuos? Shavua shalai oichal. Suppose a person makes a shavua that I'm not going to eat for X amount of time. But ochal nevelus, and he just said generically that he's not going to eat. We assume right now. But ochal nevelus a trip is shkotzim uramasim. Then he ended up eating things that are also from the Torah to eat, for example, Nevelus, Trefus, Shkotzim, Ramasim, Chayev. Then he's Chayev for his Shvua. Reb Shimon Poter. Reb Shimon says that he's Poter for bringing a korban, as we're going to discuss soon why. Vahavinan ba. So now we ask on that in the Gemara and Shavuos, Amai Chayev. Why would he be Chayev? Mushba v'omin b'har Sinai hu. Isn't he already besworn from Har Sinai to not eat these things? So therefore, when he makes a Shvua, not to eat Nevelus, Trefus, etc., then that's a shvua on something where there's already a shvua on, and it's not chal. So, or at least even if it is chal, it's not something that he had to bring a korban for. So why is he chayav for a korban? And the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel and Rav Yechanan de Amri. So Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechanan all answer that the case must be bekolo dvarim amutarim im dvarim asurin. We're talking about where he includes together things that are also things that are mutter with things that are also. Which means Rashi says, let's say for example, he says I'm not going to eat kosher meat and also not nevela meat. So now the shavua is chal on the kosher meat because there's no iser on him to eat that. So therefore, it's chal on the non-kosher meat as well. And then if he eats any of those things, kosher or non-kosher, then he would have to bring a korban. Reb Shimon, meanwhile, would say he's potter because Reb Shimon doesn't agree with that concept that once it's chal on the dvarim amutarim, then it will include the dvarim hasurim as well. So that's according to them. So fine. We're not going to focus on their opinion because that's not what's relevant over here. We want to talk about chatzishir. By the way, though, with that said, doesn't some of the Mephoshim say, and Rashi himself seems to say elsewhere, that another possibility is just that he explicitly says kosher and meat and non-kosher meat. Rather, he says generically, I'm not going to eat, and that automatically includes both kinds. Anyway. So that's according to Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yehonan, but Rish Lakish Amar. But Rish Lakish says no, that doesn't work. To be chayev for a korban for having broken his shvua and eaten nevela is not going to work if he ate a kezias. The only way to make it work is if he eats less than a kezias. The only way where you can find where he's going to be chayav a korban for the shavua, you have two possibilities. One is both of them involve where he eats a half a shir. Now, the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva have an argument there in Masech the Shavuos. When a person makes a shavua, I'm not going to eat, does he necessarily mean that he's not going to eat the amount that's considered eating all over the place in the Torah, which is a kezias, or does he mean that he's asering himself even a lesser amount? So one way of understanding the case then, says Rish Lakish, would be where he says explicitly that he's not going to eat a half a shear. So that would be valid with the Rabbanon. Namely, according to the Rabbanon, if he just said generically a shavua that I'm not going to eat today, then he's only breaking it if he eats a kezias. But if he says explicitly, I'm making a shavua that I won't eat half a kezias today, then of course he made a shavua, half a kezias. So therefore, even the Chachamim will agree that that's the amount he asked himself in. And now if he goes and eats it, then he broke his shavua. So now suppose that that half kezias he ate was nevela, then, so now you have, since according to Rish Lakish, chatzi shir is not also min ha-Torah,
So therefore, he didn't do anything, which was also daraisa. And apparently, what it means is that as the Gemara is going to go on to develop, that it means it's not also derabbanan either. So therefore, the shavua is able to be chal, because again, if he was already also to eat that half kezias of nevela, either daraisa or derabbanan, then there wouldn't be room for the shavua to take effect. So that's one way, is if he explicitly says, I'm not going to eat a half, a chatzi shir, and that would be according to the Chachamim, oy bestam, or if you want to say that it's not talking about where he specified an amount, he just said, I'm not going to eat today, then it would have to be, then it would have to be specifically, according to Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva says, a person, when he asks himself to eat with a shavua, he means to include any amount, not just a kezias. So now he made a shavua, he's not going to eat, and he ate a half a kezias, then Rabbi Akiva would make him chayim. The Chachamim would say that not, because again, they say he just said generically, I'm not going to eat, means a kezias. Meanwhile, why would Reb Shimon be pattering him in these cases? So Rashi explains, because Reb Shimon elsewhere says that actually daraisa, and even a smaller amount is osur, even less than a kezias is osur, and in fact a person would get malchus for it. According to Reb Shimon, a person eats a half a kezias, a quarter of kezias, or whatever of nevela or chaylev or what have you, he's going to get malchus. The kezias, Reb Shimon says, is only relevant as far as whether you bring a korban or not. So the point is that according to the Shlokish, we see that he's saying it's possible to be bringing a korban for shavua for half kezias of nevela. So now, on the face of it, that means that according to him, it must be completely mutter, and therefore the only thing that's preventing him from eating it is his shavua. So he's breaking his shavua. And therefore, we see that there's no prior issur on it midaraisa, and we're assuming midrabanan either. So v'chi tema kiven de islay hetem in atoda kachayo korban shavua. One second. Somebody's trying to get in. So the Gemara continues v'chi tema. So you're going to argue. Given the islay hetim and atoda kachayo korban shavua, you're going to argue. So what? According to the Shlokish, as long as it's mutter daraisa, so fine. It's also the rabbanon. Nevertheless, when we said before that a shavua can't be chal on a mitzvah, because we said mushba ba'omer mahar Sinai, so you're going to argue. Okay, Shlokish is going to take the view that it's mushba ba'omer only if it was an isur daraisa, not if it was an isur de rabbanon. So you're going to say, therefore, according to Reish Lakish, if it's an isur d'rabbanan, then we don't say mushba ba'oimid, and then we can say is shavua can be chal. So we can say, like we said before, that a chatzi shir is also d'rabbanan. The problem with that is v'hotnan. The problem with that is we have another Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos. It says shavua that now you have. There's a few different cases where a person is chayav a korban for shavua. One of them we've just been talking about is. Is a shavuos bitui, it's called, where a person makes a shavua to do something or not to do something, and he breaks that shavua. Another case where a person is chayav, so a similar korban, is a shavua called shavuos eidus, where Reuven comes over to Shimon and Levi and says to them, I know that you guys saw when I lent money to Pliny, so come to Beis Din or whatever, come to Beis Din and tell eidus on my behalf. Bitui, a shavuos bitui is where a person swears, for example, I'm not going to eat today, and he eats. That's a shavuos bitui. No. Shavuos eidus is something else. So Reuven says to Shimon and Levi, you guys come, I know that you know eidus on my behalf, come to Beis Din and say it on my behalf, and they swear we don't know any eidus for you. Later on, when they want to do tshuva, then part of their kapara is that they bring korban over the earth. So now, the Mishnah says over there, Shavuos Eidos Einan Eheges Ela Beru'uyin Lahoyed. The Shavuos Eidos applies only to people who are suitable to give Eidos in Beis Din. Vaha Vinan Bala Ma'ute Mai. So we ask there in the Gemara in Shavuos, as opposed to who? After all, the beginning of the Mishnah says, earlier, it says it applies only to men, not to women, because women are posel Eidos. It applies to non-relative, not to relatives. Ksherim, not psulim. So who else is there that would be caught? Who else is there that is posel eidus that was saying is potter from the shavua? And Rapapa Amal Ma'uti Melech. So Rapapa says it comes to exclude a king, because the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that a king doesn't give edus in Beis Din, and they don't give edus against him. As far as they're not giving edus against him, actually the Gemara explains there it applies only to Malchi Yisrael because they're chutzpahdik. But the him not giving edus in Beis Din applies in general to all kings, because it would be beneath his dignity that he has to come and stand there in front of Beis Din and they have to cross examine him, etc. So now he on the face of it, he would be kosher to give edus. He's a kosher to yid like any other, but because he's a melech, he can't. So if now somebody comes over to the melech and says to him, I know that you know edus for me, come say in Beis Din, and the king falsely says, I don't know any edus for you, when he wants to do tshuva, he would not bring this korban, because anyway, posel edus. Well, not possible, whatever. The point is, we're not going to accept that. That's what we're going to discuss. That's what we're going to discuss in a minute. We're not going to accept his edus in Beis Din. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Amar lo Ma'utim Misachik Bekovya. Rav Acha bar Yaakov gives a different answer. When the Mishnah says, B'ru'uyin Lahoyed, means to exclude a gambler. Now, you have the Gemara in Sanhedrin mentions two possible reasons why a gambler would be possible. Rashi mentions one of them over here, that Dirabbanon is considered a gazlan, because he's taking the money and it's only an asmachta, and the other person didn't sincerely intend to have to lose that money. So the Gemara gives another reason over there, but that's not relevant to our Gemara over here. So we won't get more into it. Anyway, now the question is, now let's consider this case of the gambler. Midaraisa, he's perfectly able to give edus, because this whole concept that we're saying that he's a gazlan is only dirabanan. Rashi explains a person will be a gazlan midaraisa only if he actually grabs something out of the other person's hand. Here he's not. Midaraisa mechzichazi, but rabanan hu dipasluhu, it's only the chachamim that said that he's posel. And yet, you see that the Shavua Sa'edrus is not chal on him, showing, therefore, that if anything, even and only a din drabonon blocks him, then we say the din doesn't apply. Applying that, therefore, to Shavua Sa'bitui that we were talking about before, we would say that if there's anything drabonon that makes the thing osur, then the Shavua Sa'bitui shouldn't be able to be chal, because the same basic rules apply to both. So that would mean, according to we said before that according to Rish Lakish, a chatzishir, there is a way that he can be chayav for a korban for a shvua on it, for a korban for that shvua's bitui. That means, in other words, it has to be apparently, according to Rish Lakish, it's not even also derabanan. So we're back to the question, if according to him, a chatzishir is not also derabanan, why is our Mishnah using the word osur? And on the other hand, if the Mishnah is talking about that he ate a full shear, then osir is too weak a word. It should be chayav karis. The answer is no. Shiny hosam, no. As a matter of fact, yes, when something is osir drabanan, then Rish Lakish would hold that has nothing to do with shavuos. As long as it's not osir daraisa, then a shavuos bitri can be chal on it. In the case of edus, is a special case. Shiny hosam is different there. D'amakra im lo yagid. Because the pasuk says, if he doesn't say edus in Beis Din, the fact is this person can't give edus in Beis Din. He may be kosher daraisa, but the fact is now we do have the din d'rabbanan that makes him the gambler a gazlan. If he comes to Beis Din to offer edus, Beis Din is going to find out that he's a ganav, that he's a gambler, and they're going to disqualify his edus. So practically speaking, it's not a question daraisa d'rabbanan. Practically speaking, he's not able to give edus. So that would be why he's potter from the korban for Shavuos Edus. Nothing to do with the general question of whether something is also daraisa versus dirabanan. So you could well say, like we said before, Rish Lakish would agree that chatzi shir is also dirabanan. But therefore the Mishnah can appropriately use the word osur for it. Shavuos Edus is a special case, but ordinarily he would say that a chatzi shir is in fact also dirabanan. Therefore he's going to be chayev in the korban, because at least it's not also daraisa. So in other words, he would say the rule is to be chayev in a korban for the shvuas bitui, it has to be something which is mutar daraisa. Whether it's also darabanan, we don't care about. And when it comes to shvuas edus, it has to be that something that he's actually able to, that his person is actually able to go to Beis Din and give edus. So that reconciles all of how Rish Lakish's opinion fits with our Mishnah. So now the Gemara asks on the, so now going back to the initial premise, we started with the question in the Gemara, why is it saying the word also if in fact it's chayav kares? So the Gemara is now going to question that assumption. You're telling me that any time when a person has chayav kares for something, the Mishnah is not going to use the word also on it. And you're asking, therefore, why the Mishnah is using the word also, which seems to be too weak. We learn in a braisa. Even though the Chachamim said that all of the five things that we mentioned in the Mishnah, eating and drinking, bathing, anointing, etc., etc., even though they're also in all of them, but they didn't say that a person is chayav kares only if he eats or drinks or does malacha. So we see that the word also can be used on things that are chayav kares as well. So what's the question in the first place that we're wondering why the Mishnah says also? The answer is hachikamar. No, but you have to understand the braisa a little bit differently. What the braisa is saying is kisha amru osur. When the chachamim are telling us that it's osur to eat on Yom Kippur, loy amru ela b'kachatzi shiur. That applies only to a half a shiur. So he eats less than a kesevis. Alba kashir onish kares. But if he eats the amount of full kesevis, then he's going to be chayiv kares. But afa pisha onish kares. And then even though he's chayiv kares for that, ain't onish kares ala oichav shoyse ba'osim malacha bovad. You should know, even within that, a person is chayiv kares only for eating and drinking and doing malacha. So in other words, the Braisa is telling us two stages. Number one, that there's a kind of eating which a person is not chayiv kares for. And number two, even once you start talking about kares, then it only applies to some of the activities on Yom Kippur, not to all of them. It only applies to eating and drinking and doing malacha. Doing malacha, it says b'fedosh in the pasuk. The other ones we're going to learn later on how we know that a person is chayiv kares for eating and drinking on Yom Kippur, but it doesn't apply to begin with to the other ones. So therefore, the braisa can well use the word osur because it's focusing first on things which is not in fact chayiv kares, namely eating or drinking less than a shir, which we just said is not chayiv kares. There is, by the way, a machloikas rishonim, we touched on it yesterday, whether the other things that are mentioned in the Mishnah are also daraisa or darabanan. Eating and drinking, we know, is also daraisa. Malacha also, it says explicitly in the Torah. The other ones, the bathing, the anointing, whatever, are they in fact also daraisa, or are they only also darabanan? We're gonna touch on that in various places in the next couple of blocks. One interesting possibility that Ran brings up is sometimes the Torah says that something is osur, but it doesn't delineate out the details and leaves it up to the Chachamim to figure out what's osur and what's mutter. So nevertheless, it's still considered daraisa. The classic example of that is malacha on Chol HaMoed. The Torah implies by Pesukim, we'll learn in Masechet HaMoed Katan, that you're not allowed to do certain kinds of malacha during Chol HaMoed. But the Torah never specifies what's osur and what's mutter, and you have all the dinim dabra obed is mutter, and malachas hedyet is mutter, and this and then, and on the other hand, other ones are osur, etc., etc. So the idea is, in other words, the Torah told us that there's a concept, malacha is osur on Chol HaMoed, and then left it up to the chachamim to decide what should be included and what should not. So the Ran says the same thing over here. The Torah wants that a person should afflict themselves on Yom Kippur, and the Torah left it up to the chachamim to determine within. So, or rather, the Torah tells us, in other words, as we're going to learn later on, that each of these things, bathing and smearing lotion, etc., is considered, a lack of that is considered an inui, but the Torah is leaving it up to the Chachamim to determine when is it also to bathe, when is it mutter, when is it also to put on lotions, when is it mutter, etc. Like we had in the Mishnah, some examples, we said, for example, a king or a kala are allowed to wash their faces. Anyway, so that's all one way of understanding the braisa, that it's using the word osur because it's not talking yet about things that are chayav kares. The iboyesema, or another answer you can give, going back to our Mishnah, why it uses the word osur, you could say ki katani osur ashara. You could say that to begin with, the word osur in our Mishnah, which we were bothered by so much, why is it using osur when it's chayav kares? In fact, the word osur in the Mishnah is primarily referring to the other ones, the bathing and the creams and so forth, which definitely there's no chayav kares in those, as we just said. As in fact, the Tonu Rabba Rab Yosef Bishar Sifri Debe Rab, as in fact, Rabba and Rab Yosef taught a braisa in the rest of the Sforim of Yeshiva of Rab, meaning there's the Medrash on Sefer Vayikra called Sifra, which goes through Pasuk by Pasuk, and we darshan from the Pesukim, the Halachas. Then you have a similar compilation on the other Sforim on Bamidbar and Devarim. which also, so that's not Sifra. So we have nowadays, there's a Sefer called Sifri, which is also, it follows the same pattern. So they taught a Braisa from Sha'ar Sifri, from the other Svarim, meaning a Braisa that Shtelzach on a Pasuk in Bamidbar and Dvarim, that talks about this, where the And the Braisa says, "Minayim liyam kippurim she'osav berchitzur b'sicha uvin ilas asanol tash meshamita." Talmud Lema Shabbosain. Therefore, the pasuk says Shabbosain, and Shabbosain means now just like by Shabbos, the pasuk says that Shabbos is Shabbosain, and from that, the Chachamim said that that includes even things that were not done in the Mishkan and are not really considered full-fledged malachas. Nevertheless, you're not allowed to do them on Shabbos, and that's where the whole basis of malachas derabbanan and isurim derabbanan of Shabbos comes. The same way over here, when the Torah tells us by Yom Kippur Shabbosain, it means to include more things besides just eating and drinking and malacha, and that's where we get. So again, some of the Rishonim will say that that shows that it means Drabbanon. Others will say that it means that the Torah itself is telling you, as we're going to say later, that there are more things to be added, different things that are called Inui in various Pesukim. And then you have the Ran, that they're also Minat Torah and left it up to the Chachamim to determine what exactly is included and what's not. Interesting, by the way, that we're saying on this Shvois, or Shvus, which means like rest from these things. The Rambam also phrases it in Hilchos Shvus as Osir, which is the halachas of Yom Kippur as we have them nowadays. He uses the expression that the Torah wants you to rest from all of these things, from eating and drinking and bathing and so forth, almost as if like eating and drinking and so forth is a burden that the rest of the year you have to do, and on Yom Kippur you get to rest from it. We have the idea that on Yom Kippur you have a taste of Me'eino Olam Haba, where nowadays the neshama is kept in the body by the food you eat, and the Asid Lover, it'll be the other way around. The body is going to be kept alive by the ziva shchina that the neshama absorbs. On Yom Kippur we have a full taste of that. Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Chatzishir, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asim in Atorah, Reshlokish Amar Mutim in Atorah. So let's explain why each of them holds the way he does. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asim in Atorah, because he says kibin dechazi leitz terufi, because after all, a chatzishir is capable of combining with another chatzishir. So therefore, isura ka'achol. So he's eating something that's osur, and it could even potentially end up being a full isur, which is chayiv kares or malchus or whatever. Rish Lakish Amar Mutter Min HaTorah, whereas Rish Lakish says that it's mutter, that it's mutter min HaTorah, because he says achila omer achmana, because the Torah says you're not allowed to eat. But leka, less than a kazayis is not considered eating in halacha. So the Gemara says, Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, I have a contradiction on you. A Braisa says, now the Braisa is starting to talk about the concept of eating chalev. So we know that a person is not allowed to eat chaylev from a domestic animal, and it mentions over there you're not allowed to eat it, and right afterwards it mentions that if a person does eat it, it's chayiv kares. So the Braisa says, "Ein li ela kol sheyeshnei ba'onish yeshnei ba'azhara." So from that fact that you have the onish, that you have the azhara, the warning, don't eat chaylev, and the punishment of a person eats chaylev is chayiv kares, you have them one next to the other, so you would only learn then that they're interdependent, that anything where the person gets kares, then there's a warning not to do it. What about koi? What about the chaylev of a koi, which is an animal with, now the Gemara mentions in a few places, and we're going to have it in our sugya as well, there's two possibilities. Either a koi is a suffix, it's a creature that it's a suffix, the Chachamim weren't sure whether it's a chaya or a behema, or as the Gemara is going to say soon, another possibility is maybe it's a beri of pnei atma. It's a third category, neither behema nor chaya. Right now, our braisa is going according to the opinion that a koi is a suffix. So with koi, so there's no kares for eating the chaylev of it, because it's a suffik chaya, suffik behema, and we know you're allowed to eat the chaylev of a behema. So a chatzishir, and also a chatzishir, hoyo v'enei ba'onesh, yochol enei ba'azhara, there's no penalty, there's no kares, or chatas if he did b'shoigig, for eating it. So you would think there's no warning, maybe you're allowed to eat it altogether. No, tamad lema, kol chaylev, therefore the pasuk says any chaylev. So you see, therefore, that the word. So you see, therefore, that because it says kol chaylev, because it says kol chaylev, therefore it means even kol can mean one meaning of kol can mean any amount. So therefore, any amount of chaylev, a person is also to eat. So therefore, so you see, says Rabbi Yochanan, that the Torah, the Braisa is telling you that the Torah is saying that you eat even less, the person eats even less than a shear, then he's also, it's also Daraisa. There's just no kares in it. So what are you telling me? It's Mutu Daraisa. So the answer is, we didn't. That's what Rabbi Yechon is asking. It's also Daraisa. So how can you, Rish Lakish, say it's Mutter Midaraisa to eat a Chatzishir? So he answered, Midirabbanan across Machta Ba'alma. You can say that the coal that we're darshaning from is really only Midirabbanan. The Pasuk is only an Asmachta. Now, the what does it mean in Asmachta? The Ritva explains in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, an Asmachta is not just the Chachamim came up with like a cute way of remembering a Din Dirabbanan or something. He says an Asmachta means Hashem wanted that this thing should be instituted. Should be instituted. However, for whatever reason, Hashem decided not to include it in the Torah, in Torah Shabbat or Torah Shabbat Peh. He left it up to the Chachamim. If they feel it appropriate to make this Takana or to make this Zera, then Hashem is leaving there a hook. Hashem is leaving there a word in the Torah that they can use as a basis for that. So therefore, we hear, according to Rish Lakish, that's exactly what happened. For whatever reason, Hashem decided not to aser a Chatzishir, but he left it, but it would be a good idea to aser it. So he left it open to the Chachamim. If they find it appropriate, which eventually they did, then they'll use the word kol, and they can use that as an asmachta for it. Anyway, so according to Rish Lakish, it's only the Rabbanan. And in fact, the Gemara says, Hochi nami mistabra. In fact, yeah, it has to be logical to say that that's what it means, that it's only the Rabbanan. The isak daidach daraisa. If you were going to say that the isur on eating chaylev on eating this cake on this case the koi and the chatzishir is daraisa, what about koi sveikahu? After all, why are you not allowed to eat the chaylev of a koi? Is because it's a suffix, whether it's a chay or a behema. So itzrich krol or aburi sveika. Would we need a posik to tell us about a suffix? The fact is, the suffix is for us human beings. Hashem, the nosin atoda, has no suffix. He knows whether the koi is a chay or a behema. So why would the pasuk be telling us a word, the word kol chaylev, and tell us that includes the chaylev of a koi? Just tell us straight out, the koi is a chaya, and therefore you're allowed to eat its chaylev, or the koi is a behema, and you're not allowed to. So therefore, it must be that the whole thing we're talking about over here is actually dirabanan. But since we're putting the koi and the chatzishir together, it means if one is dirabanan, so is the other. So if the koi was saying is dirabanan, because if it was daraisa, then the Torah wouldn't leave the suffix open. Then it has to be the same thing. It has to be the same thing with the Chatzishir. Now, Tosfos gets over here into a long discussion about the pros and cons of where we say sometimes the Torah does address cases of a suffix. After all, you have cases of a suffix where the Torah addresses what the din should be. So Tosfos says the difference is, in other words, that here you're talking about the definition of the thing. Is it a chayah or is it a behemah? So that the Torah should have, if it was in fact daraisa, then the Torah should tell us flat out which one it is. On the other hand, the cases where the Torah is telling us what to do in the case of a suffix is a suffix, for example, where a suffix developed. You have, for example, in the case of tzaras, is the Tosfos's first example, where you have a white spot of tzaras. You have white hair there, and you're not sure whether the white hair grew there first. Practically speaking, the Kohen needs to know what to do, so therefore the Torah is going to give him instructions what to do in such a case. But not over here. We're the same animal the whole time, and it's just a question. It's a question of the halachic classification of it. Is it a chayu? Is it a behema? Then Hashem. Then we would expect that the Torah would have been poshit the suffix for us, rather than just saying kol chaylev to say it's a suffix. Therefore, you can't eat. Tosfos also earlier points out that now that we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan is quoting a braisa that we're learning from Kol Chaylev, so why did he use the svara before? He didn't use when we said it, when we presented the machlokas, we said Rabbi Yochanan says it's awesome in a Torah because Chazi leads to Rufi, because conceivably it could combine with another half of Kazayis to make the full Kazayis. Why doesn't he say that we're learning from the pasuk Kol Chaylev, like we're saying over here? And the answer is Tosfos says that if you only had the pasuk Kol Chaylev, then you would say it's only talking about the koi. So you need the svara of Chozi leads to Rufi to say that it applies also to a half, to a chatzishir. Okay. So the Gemara says, the point is, we said that Rish Lakish could argue that necessarily when we mention the koi and the chatzishir, we're talking Rabbanan, because if it was daraisa, there's no reason to talk about the suffix. The Torah can just tell us the answer to the suffix because Hashem knows the truth. The answer is the Gemara says imi shum hola iria. If that's the only question, then that's not a serious objection. Kosava, because you could say this braisa instead holds koi beria b'fnei atzmi. You could say the other possibility, like we said before, a koi is neither a chaya nor a behema. Rather, it's a third category. So therefore, so it's not a matter of suffix. So the Torah is telling us you're not allowed to eat the chalev of a behemah. You're also not allowed to eat the chalev of a creature which is neither chaya nor behemah, namely a koi. And then in addition, you're also not allowed to eat chatzishir. So that doesn't necessarily demonstrate that chatzishir is darabonon. You could say the koi is in fact daraisa, and the chatzishir maybe is also daraisa. And in fact, you have to say that the eloi temahochi. After all, if you weren't going to say it like that, if you were going to say that a koi is necessarily a suffix, and that's the only way about it, then hoda amar Rav Idi bar Oven. Then what would you do with what Rav Idi bar Oven says in connection with the dinim of blood, where the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat blood? Now you have the Gemara over there starts with it's Gemara in Krisus that starts by saying that the pasuk says you're not allowed to eat blood, and it mentions la oif la behema, called dom lo soichlu la oif la behema. So you would think then that okay, only an oif and a behema are included. How do you know that it includes other creatures as well? But since the pasuk says af kol last week koi, the pasuk adds af, so that means you're not allowed to eat the blood of a koi either. So again, if you were going to say koi sfeikahu, if you were going to say that a koi is a suffix, again, it's tzirchra l'raburya sfeikah, would you need a pasuk to add a suffix? Again, Hashem knows the truth, and Hashem could have said one way or the other. Hashem could have said oif and behema and koi, or not, as the case may be, ela beria shiny. Obviously, the answer is when we define that the koi is not a suffix, but rather a different category of creature, neither a chaya nor a behema, but something else. So then we're saying that we have the word af kol to include that. Hachanami, beria shiny. The same way we could answer over here that the koi is a beria, and therefore the Torah is including in fact on a daraisa level and not because of a suffix. So that doesn't necessarily prove that because the previous braisa about chalev mentioned koi and chatzishir together, that therefore since one is necessarily dirabanan, so is the other, not necessarily. Maybe in fact koi is daraisa. As far as chatzishir, fine. The braisa is not telling us one way or the other, so therefore Shlokish is entitled to understand that his way, that it means dirabanan, and Rabbi Yechanan, and that the pasuk is only an asmachta, and Rabbi Yechanan is entitled to understand in his way that it's an actual limud, and therefore it's daraisa. The halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan, as usual, when you have a machlokas Rabbi Yechanan and Shlokish, the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan. So that means a chatzishir is also in a Torah, and as the Rambam says, a person is going to get makas maudus if he eats it. There's not really a great deal of nafkamina. Either way, you're not allowed to eat a chatzishir. One nafkamina would be if you have a suffix about it, or if you have a suffix about it, suffix daraisa, then we go to chumra. Okay. Tana rabbanan. So now let's
question. Question. The Torah doesn't mention anywhere that there's another category other than chaya or behema. Everywhere it's chaya or behema. So why do we infer here that
it says afkol? Then we say there is.
How can you say there is when the Torah never mentions anything about it?
It doesn't say beferish, but that's what we have Torah Shabbat Peh for. Okay.
Well, so now the Torah Shabbat Peh has to be relevant to the Torah Shabbat
Peh. It has to darshan in the Pesukim, and it can mean that there's a new category that we weren't aware of before because the Torah didn't spell it out, but nevertheless it exists.
All right. If it exists, then the Torah should spell it out, shouldn't it?
So we need to continue. Okay. So now let's get back to the Inuyim of Yom Kippur. We said in the Mishnah that there were five things that's also to do on Yom Kippur: eating and drinking, which the Gemara is going to later on say are counted as one, washing yourself, anointing, wearing leather shoes, and tashmish. So how do we know that those are the things that are also on Yom Kippur? So Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says ta'anuas nefesh seichem, you should afflict your souls. That means yocho. So how do you know that it means these things? Yocho yesha b'chama ibetzina kadesh yitzar. You would think maybe that means a person is obligated on Yom Kippur to sit in the sun or to sit in the cold in order to feel discomfort. No, Tamad Laima b'chol malacha laisasu. The pasuk mentions that you have to afflict yourself on Yom Kippur, and it continues, and you should not do any malacha. So therefore, the Hekesh teaches us ma malacha shev baltase af inu nefesh shev baltase. Malacha, not doing malacha, means a passive action. You're not doing something that otherwise you would do. The same way inui is not an active thing. You have to get up and go sit in the sun or the shade or whatever. Rather, it means that you should not do something. Namely, normally you would wash, on Yom Kippur you don't wash. Normally you would smear on ointment, on Yom Kippur you don't, etc. So the Gemara asks, still, you could have where the inui of being in the heat or the cold is passable. So you could say, let's say, for example, a person is already sitting in the sun, and it's warm for him, it's uncomfortable. We're not going to tell him, get up and go sit in the shade. In other words, we're going to tell him, you're already in a place where you're afflicting yourself on Yom Kippur, therefore continue with that. That's Shev Bal Tase, he's already there. Or similarly, Yosef Betulah Bekorule, or if he's already sitting in the shade and he's cold, Lo Neimale Kum Tov B'Shimsha, then we're going to tell him you're not allowed to get up and go sit in a warmer place. So maybe the Torah is still saying you have to afflict yourself. Okay, it has to be something passive. It has to be Shev Bal Tase. So it means if a person is already in the uncomfortable place, then we tell him you're not allowed to move from there. But how do we know that? And how do we know that there's no such thing at all? So the answer is Dumya de Malacha. The answer is, after all, we have to compare it to malacha. Ma malacha lechilakdaba af inui letachlekloi. Just like by malacha, there's never a distinction. There's no such thing as abstaining from malacha, which is a kumase. Abstaining from malacha is always a shev bal tase. It's a passive thing. You're not doing malacha. The same way the inui of Yom Kippur always has to be something which is passive. There can never be where there could potentially be an active thing in it. If you're talking about that the inui consists of being in the heat or the cold, sometimes there would have to be an active thing. Because if right now he's sitting in a comfortable place and he would have to get up and go sit in the hot place or the cold place, that would be an active thing. The fact that the fact that we're comparing it to malacha means it always has to be a passive thing, and therefore that means that sun or shade or heat or cold or whatever has nothing to do with it. That's not part of the inui of Yom Kippur at all. Okay. Tanya Idach. Now we learn another braisa in this connection. The pasuk says Ta'anuas Nafshesechem. So again, this braisa starts out the same way as the previous one. Yocho Yesh Bachamo V'Tzinoviyitzdar. You would think that means he has to sit in the heat or the cold and afflict himself. No. So now we're going to learn it in a different way from Malacha. The first braisa learned it that we said Malacha is passive. Not doing Malacha is passive, and therefore the inui of Yom Kippur has to be passive. This one is going to learn it in a different way. Talmud Lama, Machal Malacha Loisah. So again, we're comparing it to Malacha. And therefore, Ma Malacha, Dava Shechayavin Olav, Makam Acher. Malacha is something where a person is Chayav Kares in another place. Namely, a person does Malacha on Yom Kippur, he's Chayav Kares. A person does Malacha on Shabbos, also he's Chayav Kares. If there's no Eidim Vasra, of course, if there's Eidim Vasra, then there's Skila. So the definition of Inui has to be. So ma malacha dava shechayav inolav b'makom acher. Just like malacha is something where, in different contexts, namely on Shabbos, a person does malacha, he's chayav kares, af inui nefesh shechayav inolav b'makom acher. The same way, what is the inui nefesh has to be an activity which, in a different context, the person would be chayav kares for. There's a kind of eating for which a person would be chayav kares. The ezazeh, and what is that? Ze pigul v'noiser. That refers to, for example, a person eats pigul or noiser, then he's chayiv kares. So therefore, we see that there is kares associated with eating. So since we're comparing inui on Yom Kippur to malacha, then therefore it means the inui has to be the kind of thing, has to be something involving eating. So that's what tells us that eating is the inui that we're talking about, not being in the heat or cold. So the Gemara asks, "Avi pigul v'noiser shehein b'kares." In that case, then that could include. If a person eats pigul or noiser on Yom Kippur, then it means he's chayiv kares. Now, what's the nafkamin? If we're saying that anyway, he's chayiv kares for eating on Yom Kippur, you can't kill a person twice. So what does it mean that he'd be chayiv double kares? There's a few possibilities. It could be, for example, let's say he was shoygig on one and mazed on the other. It could be, for example, if he was shoygig on both of them, is he bringing two chatois, one for the pigul and one for eating on Yom Kippur, or only one? A few possible nafkaminas. Anyway, so we would say a person eats pigul or noisa on Yom Kippur, where pigul and noisa themselves are chayiv kares. So if a person eats them on Yom Kippur, then additionally is chayiv kares or chatos for eating on Yom Kippur. How about maybe that doesn't include if a person eats tevel on Yom Kippur? She'ene b'kardes, after all, throughout the rest of the year, a person eats tevel, he's not chayiv kardes, he's chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. So no, Talmud Lema Ta'anu Ve'inisim Esnaf Shaseichem. No, the pasuk says you should afflict yourselves, and then also the pasuk repeats in the next pasuk Ve'inisim Esnaf Shaseichem. You should afflict your soul. So that riba, so that comes to add also something else that you wouldn't have previously known, namely tevel as well. So not only a person has chayav karis for eating pigul or nosu on Yom Kippur, but also for eating tevel. Next. Tevel shuva misa. Okay, so that tells us that you include tevel, where there's misa b'dei shemayim for eating it. V'loy obvious a nevela she'enim misa. How about nevela? There's no misa b'dei shemayim for eating nevela. It's only an isu lav, which is chayiv malchus. Again, Talmud Lema ta'anu v'inisim esnaf she'seichem riba. So that comes, the word ta'anu and ta'anu, that word ta'anu and v'inisim esnaf she'seichem is including that as well. Now, how are we including many different things from the same words in the pasuk? Tosfos Hashanim says two possibilities. One is that there's actually five places in the Torah where it says this concept of afflicting yourselves on Yom Kippur. It mentions it in Achrimos, it mentions it again in Emor, it mentions it again in Pinchas. So altogether, you have five of them, and that can teach us the five inuyim that we're talking about. That can teach us the various inuyim that we're talking about over here, that it includes all these different kinds of eating. The other possibility is, Tosfos Hashanim says, the fact is, the nisem means you should afflict yourselves. There's no particular reason to say, not there is, there is a particular reason we're saying over here, some achayiv karis, some achayiv misa, whatever. But once we have the word v'inisem, it's a generic thing. You should afflict yourself, and therefore it ends up including, as we're going to end up saying, any kind of eating, whether the object was actually osur and what the degree of isur was. So, continues the Gemara. Obvious and nevela shiba lav. Okay, so far that tells us to include nevela because there's a lav on it. Veloy obvious a chulin shein and balav. How about plain old chulin food? There's no lav on eating it. No, ta'anu ve'inisim esnaf she'seichem riba. That comes to include chulin as well, that a person is not allowed to eat those on Yom Kippur. Again, because the pasuk is telling you to afflict yourselves, and that means stay away from any kind of eating. Obvious a cholin she'en mekum achol. So continues the braisa. Fine, that would tell us to include cholin where there's no positive mitzvah to eat it. There's no, you're not over on an issu if you eat cholin, but there's no mitzvah to eat it either. V'loy obvious a truma she mekum achol. How do we know to include truma? Where after all, there's a mitzvah sasei to eat truma. Maybe you should say the mitzvah sasei to eat truma overrides the inui of Yom Kippur. No, Talmud Leimar, Ta'anu v'yinisim, it's not she'seichem riba. It includes even that, even though there's a mitzvah to eat truma, nevertheless, since it says Ta'anu and v'yinisim, it's not she'seichem, then that means that you have to stay away from any kind of food, including that. Finally, obvious a truma she'enim about this yidu. Finally, we can say, what about we can include truma, where after all, there's no isu in the Torah to leave any of it over past a certain time. You don't eat truma today, fine, just put it in your fridge and eat it tomorrow. Obvious a kodshim she'enim about this yidu. What about kodshim, where you have an actual lav in the Torah not to leave any of them over after the time? So maybe that would be enough to eat them on Yom Kippur. No, tamad lema ta'anu v'inisim et nafshe seichem riba. Even that is included. So we have now, so we've included many different kinds, pigul and noiser and nevela, pigul and noiser and tevel and nevela and chulin and truma and even kodshim. All of them we're learning from this pasuk that it's also to eat them on Yom Kippur. And continues the Braisa, v'im nafshach loymar. So now you might still argue. You might still argue, as the Gemara is going to say soon, what the potential argument is. So you might still argue that maybe the inui of Yom Kippur does not involve eating and drinking. So we have a different proof that the inisim of Yom Kippur refers to eating and drinking. Hareyu oimer, because the pasuk continues. Now the context of the pasuk is in connection with malacha, but it uses the expression b'havadias nefesh ahi. I will make that soul be lost from the Jewish people. So we learn from that the inui shuva vedas and nefesh. We learn from that the kind of inui that we're talking about, that a person is chayev for not doing on Yom Kippur, is the kind that would, if he were to do that if he doesn't do it, his soul will be lost. The ezazeh ze achila ushia. That means eating and drinking. A person doesn't eat or drink for enough time, then they're going to die. Therefore, the pasuk is implying by that word, bahavadi, where now the pasuk means by that he's chayev kares. But if it just meant he's chayev kares, the usual expression is vichrati or something like that. You have the expressions in the psukim that refer to actual kares. Here, where instead it uses the expression v'habadias and nefesh ahi, then the Gemara or the Braisa explains we're meant to understand from that 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 also teaches us not only the penalty for a person who breaks Yom Kippur, that it is kares, but also that what kind of thing are we penalizing him with that for when he does something where if he didn't do it on an ongoing basis, then he would die, namely eating and drinking. So the Gemara says, "My v'im nafshach loymar." What's this v'im nafshach loymar? After all the proofs that we brought that v'nisem refers to eating and drinking, what else could we have thought that it refers to that we need the v'habadias and nefesh to tell us otherwise? And the answer is v'chitema v'arayis kamishtoikra. You could argue that maybe the v'inisem es nafshesechem is referring to arayis, to tashmish. In fact, we are going to learn later on that the Gemara is going to go through systematically all of the ones we mentioned in the Mishnah, the eating and drinking, the washing, the anointing, etc., and show how each one of them, someplace or other in Tanakh, the lack of that is called inui. So therefore, so you could argue over here, maybe the v'inisim es nafshiseichem and the ta'anu means that on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to do tashmish. So you're going to argue that. And after all, the Malbim points out an interesting thing. With Tashmish Roshi, you have many levels of it, just like you have with eating. You have, for example, there's Tashmish, which is Chayiv Koris. There's ones which are Chayiv Misa. There's ones which are Chayiv Malkus, etc. All the way up to Yibum, which is a Mitzvah Saseh. So therefore, so it's similar to eating, like we said over here. You have one, there's a continuum all the way from Koris all the way until a Mitzvah. So you would argue that. So therefore, harehu oimer v'habadias and nefesh. So therefore, instead, the pasuk adds the words v'habadias and nefesh, meaning inui sheyesh be'avodas nefesh. Again, that it means an inui which involves a loss of the soul. The ezezeh zachilosh siya, namely eating and drinking. So ultimately, there's no way to learn that the v'inisim es nafshesechem refers to anything else. Therefore, it necessarily has to refer to eating and drinking. And we started by saying that it has to be that it, we start. So we started. So now in this braisa, then what we did is we went through multiple stages to learn how eating and drinking is also on Yom Kippur, and not, for example, going in the heat or the cold. So we started with by saying, because we're comparing it to malacha, where malacha is something where elsewhere a person is chayav kares for. So it has to be a kind of an activity which a person would be chayav kares for in a different context, namely eating and drinking. Then we include all the various kinds of eating and drinking because of the expression ta'anu and v'inisim es nafshesechem. And then if you're going to still argue that, you could say all the same, all of the above. You could say about arayis, about bia, about tashmish as well, because all of that, you have. There is kores elsewhere for it, and there are different levels in it, and so on and so forth. So therefore, no, Avabias and Nefesh, he tells us that we have to daft to be talking about food and drink. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught yet another way to learn the same concept. Nema kan inui, v'nema lahalan inui. We learn a gzeda shava. Here the pasuk says, ta'anu es nefesh seichem. There's a different pasuk that also mentions the shodesh of inui. Namely, by the mon, the pasuk says, "Vayancha vayarivecha." Hashem afflicted you, and He made you hungry, and then He gave you the mon. So we see, therefore, that being hungry is called an affliction. So therefore, so that ties in with Yom Kippur. So malahalan inui rabon, just like over there, it means an inui of being hungry. Afkan inui rabon, the same way over here, the v'inisim es nafshesechem means that the person has to be hungry. So the question is, v'neilach meim ta'anes b'noisai. Okay, but you have the word inui also in connection with tashmish, which in fact we're going to learn later on that is how we learn that tashmish is also on Yom Kippur. Okay. Namely, from Lavan tells Yaakov, im ta'anes b'noisai, if you afflict my daughters, and Rashi says over there, it means if you deny them their tashmish. So maybe we should say that it means that. The answer is, donin inui dirabim, inui dirabim. The answer is we're going to learn an inui that's referring to the Jewish people collectively from another one that's talking about the Jewish people collectively. The mon was something the whole Jewish people went through that experience. Yom Kippur is something that applies to the whole Jewish people. The endon an inui de rabim, inui de yachid. We're not going to learn it from the inui of a yachid, namely the imahis. I mean, they're the mothers of the whole Jewish people, fine, but they are, after all, individual people, so we're not going to learn from them. So the question is, v'neilach me'inui de mitzrayim. Okay, if you're going to say you have to learn from something that applies to the whole Jewish people, then you could just as well learn it from the inui that it says in connection with Mitzrayim. Yichtiv ayaras on yenu. The pasuk says that Hashem saw our affliction. Ram yunan, and we say in the Haggadah zu prishus derech eretz. That means that the Mitzrayim prevented them from having normal family lives and having tashmish. So we see another, and then the Gemara in Sota says they have to hide out on the edges of the fields over there. So you see that even for the whole Jewish people, tashmish, a lack of tashmish is called the inui. So no. Ella, rather, the answer is donin inui bidei shemayim mi inui bidei shemayim. We're going to learn an inui that happens through Hashem from another one that happens through Hashem. In other words, the inui of being hungry before the man, that was from Hashem. Hashem had them have a lack of food in the midbar, and then they ended up complaining, and then Hashem started sending them man. So therefore, we're going to learn this inui of Yom Kippur has to be the same kind of thing, something that's caused milamayla that you don't have food. As opposed to the Ein Donin, Inu B'dei Shemayim, Inu B'dei Adam, as opposed to in Mitzrayim, it wasn't something that was being. I mean, everything comes from Hashemayim, but ultimately, who was the one who was making the Gzeiros? Paro, which is a human being. So therefore, that's a different kind of Inui, and that's not what we're comparing to say that that's the primary Inui of Yom Kippur for which the person is Chayav Karis. Okay, so since we mentioned about the inui of the mon, so the Gemara is now going to start getting into that, and we're going to have a piece about Gadta, mostly about the mon. So we'll start a little bit. We have a couple more minutes, and then we'll continue. We have a very large blot tomorrow, so we may as well try to get a jump on it. So the pasuk says Hamachil chamon bamidbar leman aneisecha. A few pesukim later, it says that Hashem fed you mon in the desert in order to afflict you. So why? So the previous pasuk says vayaancha vayarivecha. Fine, it means the affliction was they were hungry until they started having the mon. But once they had the mon, why is the mon itself described as an affliction? So Rab Ami and Rab Asi argue why that is. Chad oma ena derma mishiyesh lepas besaloi lemisha ein lepas besaloi. You can't compare somebody who has bread in his basket to somebody who doesn't. The mon they had to collect every day, and then it wouldn't keep from one day to the next, except Friday to Shabbos. So every day a person is nervous; he doesn't feel confident that he has food. So therefore, that can be called an affliction. That can be called a discomfort that they don't know. They can't be guaranteed where their meal is coming from tomorrow. Which later on in the sugi and the agadah we're going to explain. Taka why. Hashem arranged it that way. Why didn't Hashem just give them a whole bunch at a time? We'll talk about that later. Anyway, the other one says, you can't compare somebody who sees what he's eating to somebody who's not. The mun tastes like anything, as we're going to talk about later on, but it looked like the same thing. So therefore, so the person doesn't have the visual pleasure of seeing the food that he's eating. So therefore, that would be considered a discomfort. Amar Rabbi Yosef, mikan remez l'sumen sh'eichlin v'ein and svein. So Rabbi Yosef says, there you have a remez that blind people eat, but they're never satisfied. Rabbi Yosef himself knew he himself was blind. So therefore, because they can't see the food, so therefore they lose that enjoyment. Rabbi Yosef wasn't blind his whole life, right? He became blind later on, right? Amar Abaya says, hilkoch. Therefore, we can also learn from this. Man de isle su'udosa. If a person has a suda to eat, you should only eat it by day, because by night he won't enjoy it as much because he won't be able to see it. The Gemara later on explains that it can also work by night if there's candles. Same idea. Amr Abzeda Mikra. So Abzeda says, where's a pasuk that expresses this idea that the sight of the food is also what gives the person pleasure? Toiv Marianai Mahalach Nofesh. And the pasuk says, better is the sight of the eyes is better than the way of the nefesh. So in other words, the fact that he gets to see the food is even more of an enjoyment than the taste of the food. So therefore, that's according to that opinion. That's what was uncomfortable about the mon is they don't have that part of the experience. And in this connection, Amar Shlokish Toiv Maria Naim Beisha Yosim Gufri Shomaisa. The sight of a woman is even better than the actual Maisa of Tashmish. Same thing. Shenema Toiv Maria Naim Mehalach Nopesh. The word tashmish sometimes can be referred as halicha. You have psukim that refer to it as going. So derech geva ba'alma, for example. So therefore, so seeing it is in a way more pleasurable for a person than the actual maisa. Which means Tosfos Yeshayahu says you have to be therefore very careful about not seeing things that are unsneistic, because it has even more of an effect on the person than the actual maisa. Okay, so we'll stop over here and we'll continue tomorrow. Be'ez Hashem, with various other pieces of Agadah. First, a number of things that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi also argue about, just like this one. And then we're gonna circle back to the Mon and talk about it at great length. Be'ez Hashem.
Shkoyach.